All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Epic Failin' Podcast. We have with us today mayoral candidate Teddy Agbona. Hello, Teddy. How are you?
Not too bad, Ryan. Thank you so much for having me on this great epic show. I'm really grateful. It's a pleasure being here.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me. So you're running for mayor?
Yes, I am.
What made you decide to run for mayor?
First of all, thank you so much for having me on your show, Ryan. What made me to run for this race basically was the path that I see Calgary is going and going. Historically, I have made a lot of research. I did not start to think about this dream today. I started it about 8-9 years ago when the current mayor, I don't like to mention his name because he's not in this race, the current mayor was elected. And I looked to myself and I said, I'm better than this guy. And I was very close supporting, watching him until I felt at the time, in my own opinion, I felt he was becoming a little bit arrogant and condescending. I started putting so many things together while I was doing my law and political science at University of Calgary. I was putting so many things together every day, thinking about where we are going in this city. Historically, that is what I call, we are Republicans here. We are progressive Republicans. That's the way I kind of assess the whole city and province. And I asked to myself, I think a lot of Republicans have been so inactive and silent and given so much room and space for what I call the neoliberals to begin to tell us what to do in a city that we should protect our values and what we share in common as Republicans. And of course, I was talking to friends and family about my dream. And I self-developed myself. And of course, I've had a lot of experience with big governments in my life, working with the U.S. government on a not-for-profit basis, but on the top policy levels in Washington, with the U.N. and so many multilateral organizations. Having done my internship as well at the City of Toronto in this city, I've gone back to school, being very active politically behind the scenes as a progressive conservative in this city. I said, okay, I think it's time for change. So I think what made me to run for this race is the change personally that I felt that we needed or that we need in this city to come up with a better vision, not on party basis, a personal vision that I think that an idea that I think that Calgarians will come along with, and which is what is happening right now in my campaign, that is completely based on volunteerism. Nobody's paid, from campaign manager to the communications director to over 40 Calgarian volunteers that we have door knocking on behalf of this campaign, believing that we need a change. So the path that this city was going was not sustainable, in my opinion. I felt there was no more open government. Citizens do not have access. I felt that a lot of young folks were not engaged in this city. I felt that senior citizens were not engaged anymore. They were left out. I felt there was no much respect as well in reconciliation and engaging more with the First Nations that have some issues and with every Calgarian here. I felt that all lives in this city just matters, period. And we all need to engage ourselves and have huge conversations and begin to look at how to come together and make a difference in this city that we as progressive Republicans, or what I call Calgarians, would want to see. So these are the things that made me run for this race.
Having open conversations is very, very important. Is that something that you're making part of your campaign, that you're willing to kind of reach out across? I mean, even though city politics isn't like federal politics, there's no parties, but are you able to reach out across to somebody that maybe might not share the same views as you to come up with solutions?
Absolutely. And that's what I'm doing. I'm running an inclusive campaign. That's what I'm doing, Ryan.
That's the way to be, right? Like, it's very important to that, as we are such a diverse city, that you have to listen to the opinions of everybody else, right? So a little bit about your background. You mentioned that you did some work in Washington. What brought you to Calgary?
First time I came to this great country that I have called and this great city I have called home, I arrived at Toronto, of course, which is the center of the universe, as they would say.
Toronto is the center of the universe.
So I came there in 2004 as a curriculum consultant to speak at the World Youth Pilot Project at the University of Toronto. I'm a development consultant, so I do consult on issues of access to justice, good governance projects, and youth development and empowerment. So these are my area of expertise in my development world. That has made consulted with a lot of multilateral organizations and being sponsored by a few multilateral organizations and governments to do what I do. The British government, British Council, the Goethe Institute, Alain Francais in Germany, Center for Innovation and Voluntary Action, the Commonwealth Foundations, the United Nations, World, UNDP, UNICEF, and the World Bank. I've been in touch, consulted with them. And of course, being part of the global systems, I understand how it works. I do not share certain things that the global system do most of the times, but I do make my case known to most world leaders that I have been privileged to meet. In during the G8 General Assembly, I have access, we have hosted a side event. So pretty much I've come from a very not-for-profit perspective. So when I came to Canada here, I came to Toronto, and I came back again in 2006, in between shuttling back and forth, I did my internship at the City of Toronto under the New Democrats. Then Jack Clinton was alive, and I did that under Adam Jambrone, who used to be the federal president of the New Democrats in then. And of course, David Miller was the mayor of Toronto. So I was around, may he so rest in peace, Jack Clinton and the New Democrats a lot, and so many independents and Republicans. In fact, you know what? My former boss, Adam at the time, knew that I was a fan of Rob Ford. May he so rest in peace. He said, Teddy, you're working in my office and you like this guy. You know, we're having a fun of it. I said, well, he speaks to my heart. So, you know, so you can imagine the kind of person I am. I'm very independent minded. You know, having the ball to tell my boss, who is a New Democrat, that I'm supporting Rob Ford so,
yeah.
in council. That's the way he speaks my heart, he speaks his mind, and that's what I like. He's not scripted. And that's the kind of thing about me. I have a little bit of Trumpism in me, let me tell you that way. I need to say. So and when I speak my heart, I know my issues, I'm very well informed, and I do not want in this great city and country I have called home for anyone to breach or take away my charter of rights in speaking respectfully in an open society where we should engage one another, have respectful conversation. Ryan, you and I must not agree on everything. But we, as citizens, which have been assimilated here, given the same rights like you, I should have that respectful conversation with you, and we should find a common ground and put people first. That's what government is all about. But unfortunately, that's not what we are seeing with the Liberal government. So this is why one of the reasons why when I moved here in 2008, I joined the Progressive Conservatives that fits my political ideology. And in as much as I'm not a happy camper at the moment, because I do feel that the premier we have is the leader of my party, is not truly conservative. I do feel he's liberal, and I do feel that the Conservative government, and I'm saying it out loud, that we need to change him before the next election. Or in the next AGM meeting, he needs to go. So I would not want to see a socialist party, the NDP, here in this province in the next election. Whether we are running for a city municipal election or not, party platforms do have an influence in what we are doing. I'll get his door knocking. Some people have given me the DS thing right on the door, telling me, hey, you are a UCP guy, get away from me. Ryan, I've experienced this a lot. Yelling at me on doorstep, don't want to talk to me. But you know, I have a very tough skin. I take nothing personal. It's part of politics. It is a very nasty game, unfortunately. But I stand on my ground. I do not apologize. I do not apologize on something I think is fair for the people first. I make my case. This is where I stand. And I do believe, from what I'm seeing, door knocking with senior citizens, young people, they appreciate you being honest, even if you're not on the same page with them. And I've gotten a lot of votes being honest. They're not on the same page with me, but being honest, telling them where I stand and where I am.
Honesty and transparency are key. Hey, just because I might not agree with you on a topic, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person, or it doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. We can agree to disagree sometimes. And I think that's where great ideas come from, I think, sometimes, is where maybe two people don't agree and there's a consensus maybe comes about out of it. You mentioned something interesting here that with your background, first of all, I noticed with your background that you're very, you know, well-educated and you have the credentials very much to be mayor. But it's interesting. What are your thoughts on something? And you mentioned you're a fan of Trump and or a little bit of Trumpism, and you have Rob Ford. And what do you think of this like trend where it's now celebrities are looking at? They talked about The Rock wanting to be the next president, and Oprah wanting to be the next president or something, where it's like there's no qualifications to do the job, but because this person is such a personality. And I think Donald Trump was one of them that really kind of showed the world that you don't have to have years in, you know, love him or hate him, you don't have to have years in politics to do this. You just have to have the guts to do it kind of thing, and the followers.
Absolutely. Times have changed. And this is what I'm hoping that my federal party would realize, that times have changed. And stop pandering to or caving in into some stupid, accepting whatever comes their way, that, for instance, the liberals throw and saying, I'll give you an instance. You have heard what happened in Burlington, Ontario, and some of these areas. I mean, I'm from back east, you know, of course, I've told you my history here. So I follow politics over there. You know, I was watching just the other day in my campaign office, and then I was watching people protesting and yelling at our prime minister. I don't want to mention his name. I'm not a fan of him. I respect the office of the prime minister of this great country. He's a spoiled brat. I wish he's not going to be reelected. We don't need him going forward in this country. He's as corrupt as hell. He reminds me of a typical African politician. You know, I've been around world leaders, and I hate to see. And I, you know what, Ryan, I pray and wish that, maybe not my generation, I wish that the younger Canadians, true Canadians, patriots, would restructure the constitution of this great country and make it such fair, in all fairness and equity, to make sure that office of the prime minister would have a limit of 8 years max, just like what you have in the US. And that would show a more transformational process of leadership, passing on to younger generation, and not getting someone, you know, who is power drunk and stuck, who has no ideas of how the economy works, how to open up the market, who thinks he's feminist, who is cutting our rights to express ourselves, who does not want anyone to appreciate anything about our human being, who is legalizing every damn thing you can think of on this earth. And now he's trying to make sure you're legalizing everything, but you're trying to mandate the public in an open society to put on masks, get vaccinated, and do all sorts of things. But you have legalized abortion. You have legalized pot and marijuana. They probably are going to be legalizing cocaine. You have legalized ethnicity. So why are you not trying to give people the choice? Since you have legalized this, all these things, because it's a choice for you to go do this, why can't you give people the same choice to have vaccine and as well to have mask on them? Let's respect that and respect businesses who decide to do otherwise. So the point I'm making here, you could have all the qualifications and money to run for politics. And I tell you what, Donald Trump, I don't know how much they spent in numbers during the election, but I tell you, if Trump spoke his heart during that election, and even if he spent less than $1 million, he would have as well been the president of the United States of America. It's not just about the money, in as much as the United States politics is different from what we have seen here in this great country. But there has been some influence of what has happened in the last 4 years in the US. People are now realizing, I should stop being silent. I'm part of the silent majority, but I gotta speak up. That is what I love as Democrats. That's what I'm seeing happening in Ontario now. People are speaking up. They are sick and tired of government regulating their lives and their personal life and their businesses, telling them what to do. And I hope that the government listens. And I hope it's going to reflect in the next poll. I'm keeping fingers crossed that the UNITO succeeds. So celebrities, I have one celebrity in my family back in Africa. My country of origin is Nigeria. You could have all the name, it matters. But I tell you, ideas changes the world. When you speak to the hearts of the people, I'm trying to repeat this, and it sinks into them, they don't care about how much name you have or the money you have. They come around you, and I'm experiencing it in this great city.
Definitely a great answer to that question. So saying that, a lot of people will rely on this flair or showmanship when it comes to politics. kind of two questions in one here. What are you doing to get out there? Obviously, you mentioned door knocking. I find marketing fascinating. I'm a big marketing guy, right? And I find one of the biggest problems with city politics, our municipal politics, is that especially when it comes down to the wards, the different wards, no one has any idea. I mean, there's very, very few people have like done the research on the different candidates. And other than being on the best podcast in the world, what are you doing to kind of get your name out there?
Thank you. Great question. You know, when I started thinking about this lofty project, as I told you, it's years ago. And my first thing is to come up with a clear vision, identify myself, cover my identity, to make sure that people understand where my background. And then I was doing a lot of consultative process prior to filing my nomination on March 17. I've had 10,000 appointments with Calgarians in this great city prior to filing my nomination during the pandemic. Some of them were in parking lots. So I was doing a lot of networking. Friends, you know, friends were connecting me to friends. And that's what networking is all about. So I'm glad you've been into marketing. So I could know Ryan. Ryan could know 10 more people who would help me out, and it keeps just sprawling that way. So that's the effect I'm having, is a snowballing effect in my campaign. And that is giving me optimism every blessed day I wake up and I give God the glory. The point here, first of all, I got endorsed by Prosper Calgary Initiative. Prior to the endorsement, I had a meeting with them. And I asked all of them, I'm very open-minded. And if you want to have conversation with me, I will sense that. And I feel fairly open-minded. And I realized that they are all hardworking Calgarians like you, working in oil and gas, doctors, nurses, janitors, and other. They all came together to form that group. So that group, from what I understand, is my first time I have flyers printed big in numbers was after the endorsement. My signs, lawn signs coming out. If you look, all the lawn signs you see, I don't know where all of them are, because so many of them are people are picking up from our campaign office, and people I don't know, Calgarians, white, black, brown, you know, Asians picking up. And so you will see courtesy Prosper Calgary Initiative. So they are the one raising funds. And one of the things why I didn't, to be honest with you, I did not really care. I would cut that meeting off if there was any one of them I do feel was part of the 1% in this city. I would not take that endorsement, because my campaign is for the 99%. It's not about the rich. We need them to be here. We're not going to drive them away, but we need to engage the 99%. This is our city. We need to engage them. So I'm glad they endorsed me. I did my research, found out the ordinary, hardworking Calgarians, resilient folks, and they endorsed me. Believe in the vision, what I want to do about taxes. I made my case to them that we do not like high taxes in this city. I made my case to them about how senior citizens have been left out, how a lot of young folks have been left out in this city. We need to bring them to politics, because the future of this city and foundation belongs to the youth and the Gen Zs, the millennials. So I made this case to them. I made my case about the green line. We did not agree on everything, but I stood my ground. I made my case to them in that meeting. So it was very productive. And after about a week and a half, just prior to the end of Stampede, they called me up, or the CFO, Dr. Dean, and said, hey, we're going to be endorsing you. That was the greatest day of my life. You know, I did my thing with them. I've met so many groups, some of them even few developers. You're a real estate guy. I've met few developers who have given me shit that I'm not supporting sprawling cities. I said, no, you go check mine. We go and check my website very well. I am against sprawling cities that has some foreign influence in it. I don't want what happened in Vancouver happen to this great city. This city, we should leave it for our children so that they have some spaces, some green spaces, some parks to play around. It's not about the money, just flowing the money. Some meetings I walked away in the private events. I've been invited in so many private events. I respect that. I went in. Some I walked away because there was no headway. They're all in for the money. It is time to put Calgarians first. It is time to put citizens first. It is time to engage them. So my marketing right now, advertising me to the city, is all on Prosper Calgary Initiative, which is a third-party advertising registered. So they are going to be launching me at big time. You're going to be seeing it in the next 1 or 2 weeks all over the city. So from what I have heard, you know, they are doing their own thing, and I appreciate it. And that's how my marketing is going to go. But my core marketing is the meet and greet I'm doing all over the city. It is the door knocking I'm doing all over the city. Frankly, Ryan, I'm not going to cover the whole blocks, but there has been volunteers door knocking on my behalf without the candidate. So that is the impact I'm feeling. That is the way to go in this democracy. That's what democracy is all about. When people have a shared vision, block by block, community by community, gender, faith, beyond ethnicity and race, from First Nations to white settlers to all immigrants like me that have been assimilated to this great country that I've called here home. I love this country more than you do. Probably you may not know. I love this country like anyone else and this city. So we should keep this city as classic as it is. I don't want to be seeing these current councillors, they are fighting around way too much. You know, taxes have been way through the roof, which, you know, it has driven businesses of oil and gas companies. So many of them have moved away from here. I talked to CEOs of oil and gas companies. Some of them have shown me, and even knew, how much taxes they are paying to federal government, to the city province, over $1 million, $2, $3, $4 million every month. Why they shrink down? Why they sublease their spaces? So there have been so many factors that contributed to so many city companies folding here. Taxes was the root cause of most of them, and they don't like it. So, and they're going to areas where they're having more incentives. So I want to bring them back here. Oil and gas rebuild this city. In as much as they understand my case, and they are transitioning to renewable energies. So I'm speaking to the hearts of the people that build this city. I'm speaking to young folks who want to see science and technology, innovations, who want to stay here, more creative, vibrant city. But Calgary, and I still stand my ground, it is one of the best cities, if not the best, it is the best in the world. It is a classic city. We do not need to be redeveloping or revitalizing and putting funds into just to please certain local interests. And that's one of the reasons why I'm bringing the youth in as a shadow cabinet in the city hall so that they will be part of that local influence at the city of Calgary.
That's awesome. Said a bunch of things that kind of sparked some questions for me. So higher taxes, I mean, and I agree with you because knowing a lot of business owners, my family is at a family business here, Canuck Amusements. I always give it the plug, but it's for 50 years here in Calgary. My grandparents started off. But yeah, trophies and party supplies and,
wow,
you know, any kind of event thing, 50-50 tickets, all that kind of stuff. That is a complaint that I've heard from a lot of business owners about the past leadership for Calgary here, is that the taxes have gotten out of control. You're on point with that one for sure when it comes to anybody that's self-employed or the entrepreneurs of the city, which I think Calgary has more entrepreneurs per capita than most of Canada.
Absolutely. And you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm making the case at the doorstep when I'm meeting a lot of folks. After this, I'm heading out for a big meeting. I have had to cancel one. I was supposed to be in a prayer with a Muslim group, but I was going to be postponed to next week because of an urgent stuff that came up. When people begin to blame pandemic as the reason for our downtown occupancy rate that's just, you know, dropped, I just laugh off. I don't want to swear here on your show.
We can swear. We can totally swear.
Okay, all right, because I'm Teddy. You know, sometimes I go off. So
hey,
you know,
go off. Be Teddy, so, man.
Yeah, but you know what? I tell you, it is BS. The current councillors we have, the problem we have here, we have got councillors who do not understand the values that we share here in this city. Political values. There are political contexts on everything you do as politician, and there is a reality. Practical reality about things you do, politician. But unfortunately, you know politicians as well as you do. When you get into office, that is why I'm avoiding the 1% influencing me in this campaign, because they scratch my back, I scratch your back. That's what goes on all over the world. It's not just here in Canada. I've experienced it. So it is a very destructive phenomenon, Ryan. That is not going to be going forward. So I'm putting a stop to it. I'm an advocate for 8 years max, and I'm speaking it. I'll keep speaking it. I get elected October 18, 2021. It is going to be on my speech. Let the provincial government begin to look into 8 years max for public office holders so that we could begin to have some kind of interest from the younger generation to begin to participate in politics. Most of the times I'm talking to young folks on the street, politicians never say what they want, what they promise, and they're always staying in office, so I'm not interested. And these are potential engineers and architects. We are losing brain. You understand last year in municipal census, the data, which is public record, we lost about 5.5% of young people to different provinces, first time ever. So don't blame the pandemic on everything. It is BS. These current councillors need to go. All of them. They need to go, including those running for mayor. I'm not going to mention their name because it's a waste of my energy. They all need to get out of our city. They are liberals. I am telling you this. Some of, they are not honest. They are all liberals. Even one of them who pretend to be conservative, he is a neoliberal in thinking he's just playing politics, pandering to the votes to get elected. He's just power hungry, testing. He has no lived experience. I went to the same university with him. That dude needs to just chill out, relax. I would love to see him in council, withdraw and join the council. I love his criticisms and the backbone that he's got. He's not a leader. When I moved here from 2008, I was going to the combined council meeting every Monday, every month, until prior to the pandemic. I've watched this new council. It's like you're in a kindergarten, watching bickering off back and forth for the past 10 years. Sometimes you see the mayor, the current mayor, and one of these dudes I'm talking about, bickering off, and I'm wondering to myself, wait a minute, there must be something personal here. This is not business that the, at the end of the day. Something is going on. And then I didn't even realize on the internet something was flying around that, I did not care honestly about your gender. It's legal. So, I started, oh my goodness, okay, probably they should get a room so that we can do this business for the day. And I'll be talking to myself in chambers. I just poke phone at people, some old folks around me in chambers, they are watching this, who are looking at the time when they're bickering off. And I understand as part of my research, the city have even spent money to reconcile these two folks, the mayor and this guy, reconcile them through a third-party counselor to see what, so that we can go ahead and move forward the business of the day at the city. So I'm hoping to have a new council, fresh ideas, fresh energy, enthusiasm that love this city. They need to get the hell out of our city and leave us alone and stop bickering. We need to have respectful conversation in council. We need quality and smart leadership in council. Listen to people. That's what democracy is all about. Let them express themselves nicely. We're not in there for firing. This is not a communist country. This is a civilized world. That's what it's called. That is even why it's called a civilized world. So we need to look into those values that have set up this great city. Keep it as it is. So my take on the current council is that stop blaming the pandemic and the politicians in this province about what is going on. It has started way back because of, and are bringing down to higher taxes. It was way through the roof. There are some businesses, I used to own a business here, I tell you, I had employees. There are some businesses here that have, they're paying 25, 30, 40, 45%. How homeowners, the same thing, residential buildings. So that is why my vision for this campaign, my vision is to reduce taxes. And I'm capping it at 10% across the board. Homeowners and businesses in this city, supporting local small businesses. I want them to stay here. And I'm going to put that in, fixed over time for 4 good years, stabilize it. I've researched it. It is workable. And I'm going to have a huge conversation with the provincial government because I do believe that the provincial government is taking a whole lot from our taxes, about 36.7% from your tax and my tax is way too much. So if we are fighting for equalization, for fairness, a deal with the federal government about our transfer payments and all that, we should as well find a better deal for citizens of Calgary here from the provincial government to begin to look into our own fairness, a fair deal as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all for less taxes and fairness. And when it comes to transfer payments, to see that a little bit more fair. So the economy of Calgary is kind of interesting. We're so tied to oil and gas. And of course, there's no control. Even at the federal level, there's not a whole lot of, other than throwing in pipelines where they should have been years ago and whatnot. But there's no control really have on the market. The market's going to do what it's going to do. So what can we do here in Calgary? Like I say, and you said it, we're a young city. We have a lot of highly educated people that we're losing. How do we keep them here? And how do we attract more people to Calgary? Which to me is an insane question, because if I drive Memorial Drive going west, and I see the Calgary and I see the mountains, and it's a beautiful city. All our buildings are newer. Is there different industries that we start looking at? Do you have any ideas on that?
Calgary is breathtaking. Coming in and going out is breathtaking. It is a classic city. I keep saying this. It is a world-class city. we have so much potential here, we want to bring back the way it is. But the reality is that in the 21st century, the new frontiers in development is all about sustainable development, you know, factors to drive in whatever initiative you want to be doing. So in our Cargill resilience strategies of both the economics, the environmental, and the social, and that includes the whole bulk of the whole municipal development plan thing, we got to begin to reevaluate issues. We cannot keep, first of all, I do believe that the current economic climate is not the same as it was 20, 30 years ago when the oil boom and all that. So we should begin to, and which I'm very happy. I've read and seen what ATCO and Sonko is doing. Despite being strong in the oil and gas, they are diversifying into renewable energy projects. That is the way to go, to begin to lure all these young millennials, young engineers into. They want to see a very creative, vibrant city again. We used to have it. So when I see that again, from what I have seen, friends that have left their academies, whom I went to university with, that moved to Toronto, some Vancouver, they want to see that again. They want to, after graduation, have access to getting, you know, do referral and getting a job quicker than staying 2-3 years. There's no job. So, but first of all, as an entrepreneur, as a development consultant myself, so if we stabilize our tax policies, if we make it stable and consistent, and homeowners are happy, business owners are happy, they're gonna be hiring more people if they add it up, 10% across the board. So you're gonna see our employment rate go up. You're gonna see the occupancy rate in downtown Calgary begin to go up. So you're gonna be seeing a boost in the economy. And then when you begin to talk about innovations and diversifying as I'm glad this city is one of the best city, it has attracted high-tech companies at the moment. So, but we're going to bring them more here. But don't forget, there have been companies that came here, they closed, they moved back because they cannot afford to pay the taxes in their assets, both here and in the up north areas where they're working. And they begin to sublease and begin to shrink, begin to lay off employees. So business decisions are just made, not just because of what is going on at the moment, the headwinds, is as well because of the operational cost, how much they are spending on taxes in this city. So that affects employees, but employees may not know why the board is making such a decision on laying people off. They may think, for lack of jobs and give reasons. No, behind the scenes, there are so many variables that contribute to companies and laying people off. So the point I'm making here is that we need to keep our taxes. That is clear on the vision of my campaign, to keep it consistent, stable, and putting 10% across the board for homeowners and businesses in this city to stay here. And that has a significant impact in how our economy is going to be diversifying. So, and I'm big on innovations. I'm big on science and technology. I'm big on creating a hub, challenging a lot of young folks, vibrant minds. That city that you want to see that is creative and vibrant, this is an opportunity for you guys to unleash those potentials, for you guys to begin to speak up. And that's one of the reasons why I'm introducing the shadow cabinet at the city hall. Some of them don't know about this, and I'm explaining to them from a policy perspective. I want you guys to be part of the policy making process at the municipal level. Municipal government is where democracy starts. All our aldermen, our councillors, because there's women there, our councillors, our provincial MLAs, and all our members of parliament, they all started from the municipal, from our wards. We find that we nominate them. The municipal government here as a whole is where democracy breeds and starts. That is where it starts. So this is the bedrock of democracy. That is why we need to come in here fresh with new enthusiasm, new energy, fresh ideas, think out of the box to see how we can attract companies. And I strongly believe if we put our taxes, stabilize it, more companies are going to be coming in here for so many reasons. As classic as this city is, strategically located, Calgary used to be the hub of Canadian economy. Correct me if I'm wrong. It has always been and will continue to be under Teddy's administration come October 18, 2021.
Growing up in Calgary, I always kind of like would take offense to how we were just considered a bunch of cowboys, right? Right? And I would get so mad when my friends would leave and they would go, well, I'm going to BC because there's no art scene here. There's no music scene here. You know, if I want to do music, I got to be in Vancouver. If I want to do film, I've had a couple of interviews with a great film producer here and director, Michael Peterson, and just watched one of his latest films as a horror werewolf movie. Fantastic. It's like world class. It was great. So we have really great things coming out of here. Do you have any kind of vision to promote our art scene?
Well, absolutely. If you look at my bio, Ryan, I spent 5 good years training, you know, back home in Nigeria. Back and forth, I was shot in as a young kid when my parents died. So my sister that raised me and the husband, I called them mom and dad. They were working for Shell Petroleum. So I was privileged to travel around the world with them at a very young age. But I still had my school and was in dorm, and what we call dormitory over there. And so I did the applied arts. You know, I understand how, and I've had workshops sponsored by international organizations to speak, curated works, bringing international curators. I have an artwork, a sculptural piece at the Washington Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C. They hang it somewhere there. One of the curators, Christopher Smith, hang it somewhere there. Just to let you know. So that's one of the reasons why I am so pissed and sick and tired of the current mayor. Prior in the days, I don't know if you recall when this arts thing was going on, the purple ring. I don't even know the color of that thing at the airport. Sometimes I'm driving there. When I got laid off in my job in 2019, I started driving Uber for 1 year. So I was shuttling airport a lot. So I was on what is called select car with Uber ring. And when I see that thing, I kind of give you that, you know, that kind of look. You know, I feel like stopping and uprooting that thing, because it's an abstract, a three-dimensional piece that does not make any meaning to anyone in any Kagerian unless you are really into art to think deeper like me, because I've gone through training and I'm a little bit gifted to read objects. So that abstract there is BS. That in this does not reflect any values. I don't know if the current mayor was trying to put a stamp or a symbol of his purple background. I don't even know what that is. It drives me nuts. And then the one over at the COP, you know, the one over there by the Olympic Way, right?
Yeah.
That one costs close to $1 million plus if you add up the taxes. So paid to a foreign artist. And I'm thinking to myself, we have a lot of young folks here in universities.
Yes.
And in the universities, I've been around as an artist, galleries, visiting, I have fun watching art, you know, museums. I'm a very, you know, I love to watch, you know, going to museums and artworks. 3/4 of that fund could challenge a young student, entrepreneur, to present a better concept that reflects the values of the cow town, as they would call it. I could care less if they call it a cow. I heard the same thing when I was moving from Toronto to this place. My friends told me, oh, Teddy, you're going to a redneck city. And the redneck city elected Nancy in 2010.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. This is a progressive city. It has grown way from the blue tent it used to be, getting a lot of people having independent minded, assimilating people like me, loving people like me who have a better vision and love this city, want to make it good. I'm in to serve. Look, I've been around in my life with world leader. I've been around a lot of, privileged folks. And I do not want to see where people are not being put first, and then money is put first, just follow the money. I don't want to see that anymore. It is very destructive. So those artworks you see there cost so much money. If you add two of them together, it was about $1.7 or $8 million in those two artworks that went down the drain. Does not reflect any symbol or value. If they had done something like a buffalo wings or something, I could say, okay, let's give it a pass. But this has nothing to do with the culture, the symbols, the values, the artifacts that Calgary is known for, or even the First Nations is known. That caused a little bit of a problem with the First Nations, first of all. So, and then the mayor pretended as if he did not know how the concept, did not see the scale. Come on, give me a break. Being a mayor in this city, I've been privileged to see so many mayors in the States. My whole family lives in the States. And I tell you, being a mayor of a city, you have to take responsibility for whatever happens in this city. Even policing, community relations, anything that happens that did not go well, that will make you a leader. Take responsibility of that. Accept the responsibility and be accountable to Calgarians and stop pandering. So be truthful to them. So I do feel that the arts community needs to be more vibrant. They need support. Arts and culture is part of the things that we need to do to keep a lot of young folks here, and make sure that our senior citizens retired in dignity would be able to have access to go and watch some live theaters as it used to be able to enjoy themselves and retire and have fun. They have paid their dues. With all due respect, you know, I think senior citizens are not being respected anymore. They're not being taken away, taken care of what they are, unless some of them are less privileged. You know, they're walking in a neighborhood, there's so much snow on the sidewalks. You know, public safety is an issue. Most people are now scared of coming out for what is going on. That all these things need to stop. I think we need to reallocate, prioritize funding, and let Kagerians do that, execute those projects. And the same thing applies to India industry. I do believe that we should support local developers more, get them engaged, let them be able to integrate in their corporate governance within communities, begin to allow to see what communities need. They need, for instance, from a community garden. How do we incorporate a community garden into what we are doing? But I want to see local developers take this step. They're the ones execute. We have got it all here in this city, in this country. Let Canadians do the project. I don't want to be seeing people from Hong Kong buying up the oil and gas, or Chinese buying up the oil and gas assets, which is happening. They're buying off everything here behind the scenes. Look at all the big billion-dollar real estate REITs, the real estate investment trust firms. Behind the scenes, all owned by Chinese and Hong Kong communist country. That's not the civilized world I have come to live. I am sick and tired of hearing this, and of course, it's being caused and promoted and completely supported by the Liberal government. And that's why one of the things I'm hoping that Canadians will see that what we have in Ottawa is just a character. It's just a deceitful protagonist that needs to be getting out of the theater.
I love your passion. I love your passion, man. If you had anything to tell Calgarians for October 18th, what would you tell them?
Thank you very much, Ryan. Calgarians, I'm asking for your vote. Elect Teddy for mayor of this great city come October 18th. If you want honesty in government, if you want someone with open heart that would be going to listen to you, respect you, if you want transparency and accountability, and making sure that we have an inclusive, everyone, no one is left behind, from First Nations to white settlers to immigrants like me, we all want to get engaged. That's where the city is growing. That's where we want to keep things as it is. If you want lower taxes, 10% across the board for businesses and homeowners, if you want your young folks to be part of the decision-making process at the city hall, this city belongs to them. Vote Teddy for mayor come October 18, 2021. Thank you so much, Ryan, and God bless.
Thank you. And do you have any a website if somebody wants to check you out?
Yes, of course, www.teddy4calgary.ca. And I'm all on social media as well.
Right on. Well, thank you much again, Teddy. And until next time, stay epic.
Thanks again for listening to Epic Phelan. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe. Give me a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Real Ryan Phelan. And visit my website at thecalgaryrealestateguy.com. Until next time, stay epic.